Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
I want to welcome everyone to the meeting place in Voice Ministries. Tonight is one of our unique meeting place services. We call it the prophetic meeting place. Well, how we do the service is I'm going to bring a short message. We had, as you could tell, most places don't do worship quite like this. This was a free-flowing prophetic as she was singing. She was hearing it. She was singing it. Spontaneous worship. And then I want to try to bring a message that is related to the prophetic somehow. We're going to do stage ministry where, as the Lord shows or highlights you to us, a group of us are going to minister from the stage, edifying prophetic words for you. And then at the end, we welcome anyone to come up for 1 or 2 minute prophecies that are personal prophecies. And we'll have the team line up. Now, it's kind of a smaller group tonight because of the roads. So if you get ministered to, you're called out from the stage, then I would encourage you to not come up tonight for double. We call that double dipping, and if you don't need to come up at the end, we want to encourage you to come up, but we just want to make sure you do it because you're accountable for every prophetic word. Sometimes that stuff can just be fun and exhilarating, but whenever God speaks to us, we're accountable for what He says. And we don't want to put fear or instill fear or to remove the grace from the situation. But we also want to be real and know that this isn't just a go kart ride or some little fun exhilarating thing. This is serious business. When God speaks to you, there's a purpose. How many of you know that God doesn't waste His words? And so when He speaks to us, we need to be good stewards with His word. Whether you have a dream, you have a vision, whether you hear a voice, it's not good if we just dismiss it and say, whatever, I'll get it later. If we want to grow in our communion with God, then we need to be good stewards with when God speaks to us. So I'm just going to open up with prayer real quick. I know we've already prayed, but I'd like to do this before we speak anything from the Scripture. So Lord, we just thank You, Holy Spirit, O Spirit of truth, that You dwell on the inside. We thank You that we have fellowship with You, and that the veil is torn, that we have access to the very presence of God. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are the living Word, and that Your Word is not like just black ink on paper, but it's filled with life, and You are absolute truth. So, Lord, we ask for Your leadership. Holy Spirit, we ask You to guide our hearts and minds and to receive all truth. Anything that's not true would find no place within us. God, if there's anything like that, we just ask for grace. But, Lord, we pray that You would speak to us personally, but also as a group. And my prayer is that no one would leave the same, but everyone would leave with a greater impartation, touch, revelation, understanding something from You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Well, it's good to see everybody. Some faces I haven't seen for a while, and some that I get to see all the time. And so I'm so glad that you're here. We're going to speak tonight. I asked the Lord what it was that He wanted me to speak on, and I prayed and prayed, and I felt like He made it pretty clear to me that He wants me to speak on judgment. Now, it's a big subject, the issue of judgment, and there's quite a bit to the topic, and there's many angles of looking at it, and this is definitely by no means meant to be an exhaustive study. Yeah, make sure if you want the notes, raise your hand. They're passing notes out. But this is just a quick glimpse, and what I want to do is I want to put the issue of a righteous judgment in regards into the working together of prophecy. Since this is the prophetic meeting place and we're talking about prophecy, how does a righteous judgment and prophecy work together? I think many of us know that, we look through the Old Testament and there's like the idea of the prophet delivering the judgment of God. And a lot of that is truth, but there's also a lot behind it to understand the judgment and the justice of God, what it was like in the Old Testament, the mercy of God in the Old Testament, and even what it's like in the New Testament and what the mercy of God is in the New Testament and the New Covenant. In Isaiah 11, verse 3 and 4, we see that the Scripture speaks about Jesus' righteous judgment. There is a righteous judgment. Isaiah 11, verse 3 through 4, it says, "And he being Jesus, will delight in the fear of the Lord. And he will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked." Everybody know this is Jesus, right? He is the model. He is the author of truth. He is the author of righteousness. He is the author of justice. And we see a righteous judgment is that we don't judge based on what our eyes see. How many know that's pretty tempting to do, right? Because we can assume that we know everything based off of what we perceive in the natural. We see something happen, we think we know the whole story, right? Also says in that area of text there that he will judge the needy with the justice. He will give decisions for the poor. He will decide by what, he will not decide by what his ears hear or what he hears with his ears. This is talking about natural senses. He's talking about natural senses, what we see with our eyes and what we hear with our ears. He's not going to make his decisions based on those natural perceptions. Many of us, including me, we judge based on those things, right? I think that's pretty natural, pretty normal. But there's a greater and deeper judgment, and it's called righteous judgment, and it's the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's how he judges. Remember the scripture said that Jesus didn't do anything that he didn't first see the Father doing. He didn't say anything that he didn't first hear the Father saying. Jesus wasn't a normal man. He had a wisdom that surpassed this natural world. How many of us know and realize and keep in our mind that there's usually more to the story? And oftentimes we get a glimpse or we hear just a minute part of what's really going on. And if you love to prophesy to people, or if you love to encourage people, through encouraging words or different things, it's important for us to realize that we have got to be careful that if we're going to share something with someone, that we judge them and the word based on a righteous judgment, not by one that is natural perceptions or of the normal soulish man. There's some different situations in the Bible that really give good examples to this. I'm just going to name a couple here, and I'm going to read a portion of text. How many remember Eli and Hannah in the Bible? Anybody remember Eli and Hannah? Okay. Now, Hannah was Samuel's mother, okay, the baby Samuel's mother. Now, 1 Samuel 1, verse 9 through 15 says, now, Hannah was... she wanted a baby really bad. We won't get into all the details, but she was grieving because she had no children. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She being Hannah, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the infliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head." Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli, was watching her mouth. And as for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, "How long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah replied, "No, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord." Eli judged Hannah's heart and condition based on what he saw with his natural eyes. His judgment was not righteous. It was formed from soulish perception and presumption. I'm guilty of that. How many of you? You know what I'm talking about? You can see something and think you know the whole story. You think you understand. And then you don't understand. How about the issue of Job? All of Job's, everyone around Job, thought for sure he must have really sinned. Who would have ever thought that there was this issue between God and Satan? God saying to Satan, "Hey, have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him on the earth." And Satan said, "Oh yeah, just do this and do this to him, and he won't be. He'll curse you to your face. He won't be righteous like you see him now." So God said, "Okay, let's do it." So I don't know if you would call that a bet or what you would call that. God already knew what was going to happen. But who would have ever guessed such a thing would be going on? But everyone peering in from the outside looked at this man and the condition that he was in and all that was going on and saying, "Surely God has judged this man. He has surely sinned. There is something he has done wrong." But when Jesus judges, he does it in righteousness. And that's where we have to be careful not to assume anything with people. When we, especially if we're ministering prophetically to someone, or we want to encourage them, we don't assume the worst. If we're going to blow it, if we're going to make a mistake, we're going to err on the side of assuming the best. You can't go wrong when you stay positive. But based on our natural perceptions, there's so many situations where people can get a misunderstanding of what the truth is. How many of us know that you just twist the truth just a little bit and it can change things significantly? We need to be very careful. We need to be very careful how we judge others. As Christians, one of our greatest enemies is a self-righteous spirit. It's that religious spirit, like, "I'm more spiritual than you are." We don't say it out loud, but often we think it. We assume it. Well, they're sick because they sinned. I actually know of some pastors that are nowhere in this area who someone got sick, and because they didn't like what they were doing, what someone in their congregation was doing, they assumed it was a curse of God. They got sick because they were sinning. Did I say that right? Did that make sense? Someone in their congregation got sick, and because they were doing something or not doing something that those pastors, they disapproved of, they were declaring that it was God's judgment. It's like, how many of you guys know sometimes we just get sick? Yeah? We have to be careful dishing out judgment and consequences to people. "Well, I tell you what, they keep going on this way, the Lord's going to get them." It's like we want people to be punished. We want to see them suffer. We want to see them struggle. Like there's a part in us that's like, enjoys it or something. You guys know what I'm talking about? That's happened to me before, more than I would like to admit. We have to grab hold of those kind of things. When we see that type of behavior, we have to go after it and kill it. We can't let that remain in us. We must be aggressive and go after those type of attitudes, behaviors, perceptions, mindsets, and we got to be aggressive to kill that, go to the very root of it, because it is the very enemy of who we are. It is the very opposite of who Jesus is. Unrighteous judgment is a fruit of hypocrisy. Matthew 7, 1, I actually meant 1 through 5, says, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." How many know there's a spiritual law that when you judge, you're going to be judged? "For in the way that you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. A self-righteous spirit can blind us to our own sins, but a humble spirit can cause us to realize our lack aside from Christ. Without Christ, forget it. None of us qualify, right? None of us have the righteousness that we need in order to be qualified. It's only by Jesus, his shed blood, what he done for us, that we have any righteousness at all. And how many of us know that God does not prefer one above the other? There's not one of us in here whose life is more valuable than the other. Like the pastor, well, my life is more valuable. Everyone's here to serve me and my vision. That's like a Saul spirit. That's not the spirit of the Lord. We're to prefer each other. We're to love one another as ourselves. Often we can get into that ditch. I've been in that ditch so many times. You know, if you're a prophetic individual, prophetic means that you get revelation from the Lord. You sense things. We're all a prophetic people because God lives inside of us. But some of us, that prophetic quality, different gifts, tends to be more noticeable. And we've developed it. But there's oftentimes within us that nature that comes up. It will be something that we begin to think that we are holier than others are holy. Or we are more spiritual. Or God loves us more. Or we're more pleasing to God. Now there's differences in relationship. But when we minister to one another, how many of you know that when you minister to someone, you're ministering to the apple of God's eye? That the person sitting next to you, God loves them with the same unconditional, unmeasurable love that he loves you. So when we are thinking about our brother or our sister and thinking that God's messed, you know, upset with them and they're blowing it, and thank goodness, you know, I mean, if they were more like us, then they wouldn't be that way. And that we're talking about the very heartbeat of God. He loves them so much that each one of us is God's favorite one, right? You understand that concept? Each one of us is the favorite one of God. So when we think to ourselves, God loves me a little bit more, we're deceiving ourselves. And so when we start dealing with, and when I'm speaking, I hope I don't come off as if like I'm upset with anyone here, or like I'm pointing the finger. No, actually, this comes from a lifestyle myself. I see this in myself much more than I like. And when I think that I'm starting to weed it out, then God takes me through another cycle of pruning and cleansing. And I was like, oh man, is there any hope? Natural perception is weak. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5 says, therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. And then each man and woman, and then each man's praise will come to him from God. God is the one that truly knows the heart. We can assume a lot of things. Oftentimes, we don't give near the credit that we should to others. And oftentimes, there's so many things that we should let go that we don't see about mistakes that people make. I've got so many things wrong with me. When I measure myself to the Lord, I've got so far of a distance to go that sometimes I don't even know why God uses me. Why would God use someone like me? I got so many things wrong with me, but it's by his blood. But it's not my righteousness, it's his righteousness that makes me righteous. As we keep desiring to go forward and to know him, we can become like him. And it's like, he's like, oh, he looks like my son right now. He looks like my son right now. He is so beautiful. How many of us know that God doesn't always just see us for who we are right now, but who we're going to become? Who he's destined us to be. That's one of the things that's so amazing about God. He will put vision and destiny in each one of us. And then we believe a prophetic word, or we believe things that are said in the Bible about our inheritance. And it begins to open up and take root in us. And the life of the Lord begins to manifest in us. And we begin to resemble him. We take on his fruit. So I feel like what the caution of the Lord is for us to reel back the natural judgment, the natural presumption, and perception of the carnal nature and ask God for more love, more humility, that we would walk in a righteous judgment. How many of you know that love covers? See, an unrighteous prophetic person will uncover. Or a prophetic person who will minister, and they're not ministering in love and humility, but they're ministering out of an unrighteous judgment. They will uncover people and embarrass people. How many sins does God cover for us? Isn't the blood cover everything, right? How many of us have blown it? Everyone should be waving their hands like, wow, I've really blown it. We've all blown it, and we will continue to blow it. The thing about it is if, as we come closer to the Lord, it can be less and less and less as we take on His nature and we're transformed. We become the new creation that God has prophesied us and destined and promised us to be. But if we operate out of love, love covers. It doesn't expose and uncover in every situation. There are times for that, but it's the exception and not the rule. How many of you know 1 Corinthians 14:3 prophecy that says that the one who prophesies does so for edification, exhortation, and comfort? That is a prophecy that's meant to love and to cover. We're not in there trying to find faults. We're not in there trying to rebuke, correct, and to find anything wrong with you. Oh, there's a sin. Let's expose it. Let's point out a wrong. That's not the nature of God. That's not the nature of Jesus, is it? So you, if you are called to the prophetic ministry, you have prophetic gifts. But even if you are a child of God, we need to really be careful about the kind of judgment that we have. I've got so much work going after the logs in my own eye, I don't need to be looking at the specks and see if I can get my magnifying glass out for your specks. Amen? 1 Peter 4:7-9 says, "The end of all things are near. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. But above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." If I want to minister out of love in the prophetic, my goal is not to expose your wrongs. My goal is to edify, exhort, and comfort, to encourage you, to point out to you, and to declare the things that are on God's heart. He's always wanted to encourage. You're His kid. You're His child. You're even more than words can say out of the English language or even the language of man. That's who you are to God. Precious beyond our understanding. We are one with Him. How much more personal can you get than Him being inside? He loves us. He wants to encourage us. He doesn't want to tear us down. That's not His nature. So let's get that right. I mean, sometimes we think, well, God's going to teach them a lesson. So they've done something wrong here, and they've tore someone down, and so now God's going to tear them down. How much sense does that make? God wants to teach us not to tear someone down, so what does He do? Tear us down. Does that seem like that makes much sense? Right? Are you guys with me? He wants to, if God's going to give us an example, He's going to show about how to do the opposite and build somebody up. James 2, verse 13 says, "For judgment will be merciless to one who has shown no mercy. But mercy triumphs over," what does it triumph over?
Judgment.
We must be intentional to live and minister from a place of humility and love. The genuine prophetic will flow out of the river of love, will flow from a place of love, not from a place of condemnation, a self-righteous spirit, criticism, tearing people down, but out of a place of love and building one another up. Doesn't that seem like God's nature? You guys must be in real deep thought. We know no one's being convicted here of anything, right? Guys just got deep thought. Okay. So, Emily, Brad, John, why don't you guys come up real quick here? We're just going to do like 1 minute prophetic words here or less. All right. There's a lady in the back there. I think you have glasses and a gray t-shirt. You have your arms folded. Yeah, what's your name? Joy? I love that. Joy, the Lord was highlighting you to me. And I feel like you're coming into a time where God is preparing you for rejoicing and celebrating. I think there's been a long waiting, and I heard winter season. And that can be like where things are cold, you don't see a lot of life on the, like the spring is like everything's budding and life is everywhere. But in winter, it can be like, man, where's God, right? And I feel like the Lord is saying to you that you have, he's sharing that he's that you have been searching for the deeper things of the Spirit for some time. You've been thirsting. You've been aching for the presence of the Holy Spirit and more of the genuine. You know, the Bible says this, and that's what you want. And I feel like that the Lord is taking you through a process of sifting and change, and you are so ready to receive and to drink from that a river of living water. And I heard the Lord say that to even begin to rejoice now, because I see you stepping into real intimate moments that are like knocking on your door with you and the Lord. So I feel like the Lord is saying that He has given you the desire of your heart in this, that a greater relationship and greater interaction with the Holy Spirit, even I heard the Lord say, the Word of God will become life to you in a greater way and will even become alive to you. So I hear the Lord say, drink and eat and be merry. Bless you.
All righty. I'm going to go out on a limb here a little bit on the first one. I just heard a name. Is there anybody here named Roger? Okay. The limb broke. Okay. Okay. The gentleman back here in the blue shirt with the beanie cap on. What's your name, sir? Yep, that's you. What's your Benjamin. That's my son's name. Good name. Okay, Benjamin. I heard the words, the phrase, everything's getting ready to break loose for you. And I just really sense there's been something you've been put a lot of energy into, a lot of effort into, a lot of sweat and a lot of elbow grease, and just something you've been working on, something you've been really digging into, and it hasn't been producing the fruit that you've wanted or that you expected by now. And I just hear the Lord saying that don't give up, don't be discouraged, don't pull back. Don't second guess the dreams that he's put in your heart. I just sense there's some really big dreams that he's put in your heart. And it's like, God, how am I going to do this? Or how am I going to get there? And this is almost impossible. But I really sense God is saying, believe in the promise. Believe in the things that I've spoken to your heart. And you're going to see them come to pass. And I just really believe there's something in you that God is bringing out and that he's revealing to you that you don't even know that's in there. And some qualities and just some intrinsic value that you have that you don't even know you have. So here God's saying, son, know this. I'm going to make a statement about who you are. I'm going to have people come alongside you and say, you are this, you are that. And it's going to confirm what you already know deep down in your heart. But it's almost like you're afraid to say or you're afraid to believe. So here God's saying, this is a time to really step out in faith and believe in the promises that I've planted in your heart.
The lady in the third row on the end, in the brown sweater. What's your name? Shirley? Okay. Shirley, I saw a picture of you, and like there was these scales, and I saw you putting things, and you were weighing things out, and it was like I felt like you were just kind of saying in your heart, you know, I've invested all of this into this thing and into this relationship and into that thing, and it's like it's not all adding up. I'm not getting out what I've put in, and I'm not sure if you've dealt with any betrayal in your life, but I felt like the Lord was just saying, I will not betray you. I will not forget you. And I heard the Lord say, you've not seen the end of my goodness. You've not seen the end of my kindness. I felt like he just wanted you to ask of him even more. And it was like, I felt like there's been things you've asked in the past that you haven't seen fruit from. But I felt like the Lord said, ask to put a demand upon his goodness, to put a demand upon his kindness. And then I heard the verse, Psalm 23:6, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Okay, the lady sitting right beside her in the gray sweater. What's your name?
Heidi.
Heidi?
Yeah.
Okay. Heidi, okay. All right. Grace and peace to you. I just felt like that there's just a, there's the grace of God is upon you. There's a spirit of peace on you. And I heard the word matriarch. I felt like that the Lord is raising you up to become a matriarch in your family, just a woman of great capacity, great strength, great stability, great wisdom. And also, I feel like that I just want to speak a family blessing over you. I'm assuming that's your husband and maybe your son right there. Okay. I felt like that you guys as a family, the term just a womb of love. I feel like that God is really, there's love in your family and you're like a womb and God's growing that. And I feel like that you're really going to impact your neighborhood and just your community in general through the power of love and the way that God has taught you in the midst of your family to really just a lot about love. And I just see that going out from you guys. And then another thing that just struck me about you personally was Mona Lisa. I saw you as a Mona Lisa. And I feel like that's it speaks to me of influence. A lot of people kind of use her as an icon or an idol, you know, that kind of thing. But I just feel like that speaks of influence. So when influence comes your way, don't run from it. You just have a great capacity to reflect the love of God.
Amen. I'm going to try to do a couple of real rapid-fire ones real quick. I know you guys, I don't remember your names. You have a white shirt on, and you have, he's got his arm around you. What's your names? What's that? Blake and Becky. I looked at you tonight, and I saw Becky with a guitar or some kind of a stringed instrument. And I just got this sense that if you aren't already involved in some type of worship, or some type of ministry to the Lord and through that type of area, that God is preparing your hearts. I think He wants to enhance your spirituality and your worship with that type of thing. And so I don't know, you know, I'm not saying that each of you are going to play every instrument, and I don't know exactly what it means, but I saw you with a guitar in your hand. I don't know if the Lord is getting ready to do something like you're already leading some worship or you're spearheading something or God's saying, do this in your home. But I see like the Lord drawing you into something. It's like pulling you into something and leading you, preparing you for something very special between you and Him. Amen? So bless you. Is Tatiana, right? What's your name? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Vitalia. I'm sorry. Vitalia, your friend next to you, Aaron. Aaron, I see you climbing a rope, and I feel like that you have been working hard in either your perception of Christ or your pursuit of Christ. I just see you working hard in your spirituality, that there is a sincerity in you to put forth whatever effort you can to go higher in Christ. And I see all of these trophies and all of these awards for you. I feel like you're getting ready to come into a new level of your spirituality, but you're going to be surprised because it's almost like, you know, it's like you're climbing a rope and you can't see. It's like to your eyes, it's just dark right there. But when you break through, and there's a breakthrough you're coming into, there's all these prizes, trophies, and spiritual rewards and awards that God has for you. So I feel like the Lord is saying to you, don't quit, don't lose steam, don't give up, don't judge based on what you can or cannot see. But I heard the Lord say you're doing a good job, and He's very proud of you. Amen? Bless you. I'm going to do one more real quick. And what's your name, sir? Trevor, I looked at you tonight and I heard the name Solomon. Now, I don't know if you're studying anything about Solomon or if there's, you know, like you just happen to be reading about Solomon or something like this, or he's one of your favorite people. But I think to me it was pretty obvious that there's the issue of judgment, justice, and wisdom that the Lord is imparting to you. And I feel like that you love justice and you love truth. And your heart is to make a difference in those areas. And I just see promotion as you continue to focus on those things. I actually saw like a hand say, come up here. And I know it has to do with promotion, that the Lord is going to promote you and you're going to excel in the things of God. So bless you.
Okay, the gentleman in the, is that an Echo shirt with a rhino on it? Derek, with a D? Okay. Well, Derek, you know, the first thing I heard for you is I heard chomping at the bit. And I saw some pictures of you, and I saw you It was like you kept seeing open doors, and, man, you would run to that door, and by the time you got to the door, it was like, man, this is it for me, and the door would shut. And you're like, wow. So you wouldn't get discouraged. You'd get fired up again, and there'd be another door open. You go over to that door, and that door would close right when you got to it. And I just see you kind of looking down. It's like, man, I'm exerting this energy. I'm making all this effort. I'm trying so hard. And it's like you look down at your feet, and the wheels are just spinning. You feel like you're spinning your wheels sometimes. And I just hear the Lord saying, son, know this, that the doors that were shut, they were not denial. They were not, it's not that you were wrong or that you perceived wrong. I even sense there's been times where you say, maybe I just don't hear God. But I hear the Lord saying, son, know this, it's been testing to see your resolve, to see your heart. And I hear God saying, son, your heart has come through with flying colors. I'm proud of you. I believe in you, okay? I hear him saying, don't pull back now. Don't turn back now. Dig in harder. Press in harder, okay? I hear God saying the breakthrough is right here in front of you. You're coming right to it. And I hear God saying he is so proud of you. The effort. I just see so much effort, so much study, so much reading, so much devotion, so much sacrifice. I heard the word sacrifice over you too, that you've given up so many things for the things of God. And even with times people say, man, are you serious? You're going to give up this for that? And you're like, yep. So I just hear God saying to don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Just keep going, okay? Keep persevering. And that door is going to be open. Don't think it's going to close on you. I think I sense real soon that door, you're going to come to it. And it might even be like the vacuum cleaner salesman. You might even have to put your foot in that door to keep him from shutting that door. But I just really sense that God is really proud of you. Amen.
Amen.
Actually, right in front of Derek, brown shirt. What's your name, sir?
Rick.
Okay. When I looked at you, I heard the word rescuer, and I feel like that there's something that God has for you to do, partnering with him in rescuing people. And it was like I saw kind of twofold, like people who have been in tragedies, physically in their life, but also just who are in a tragic position of their heart. And I just saw like the Lord using you just to come into those places to bring counsel, to bring wisdom, to bring comfort, and to rescue those who are in those places of hurt. And one other quick one. In the very back, you're looking down right now. You just looked up. What's your name?
Rachel.
When I saw you, I heard the Lord say, beautiful heart. And it was like I saw a flash of all these different fairy tales, and I felt like the Lord said, you have a place in my story. You have a great place in my story. And I just feel like the Lord's just really going to continue to reveal to you his plan for you and the part you have to play in his plan.
Dream big.
One of the things in prayer this evening I felt like was that it was on the Lord's heart to give some group prophecy, and I know that I saw the Teen Challenge guys come in. So if you're one of those guys, this is for you. What I felt like was I saw a picture of a big kneading bowl, and the Lord's hands was in the dough, and he was kneading the dough. And I used to make bread when I was young, and you pull out, you stretch it out, and then you push it into the middle. You pull it out, and you push it into the middle. You keep pushing it into the middle. Pull it out, push it in. And so I felt like that's what the Lord just wants you to know. His hands, he's right there in the middle of you guys. It's like he has so got his hands in your lives. And he may be stretching you, but he's wanting you to go back and let him push you into the middle. Let him push you into the middle, because he's working himself into you. He's working himself into you. And it's not always, you know, a real neat thing, flowers flying everywhere and all that stuff. But it's nourishing, and he's causing you guys as a group to be able to nourish one another. So I just really just challenge you. Let the Lord push you in. Open your hearts, because God's really doing an awesome work in you guys.
Very good. Yes. Amen. Amen. Very good. Very good. I have a word for Jua. You guys are recording this. Is that right? Okay. I need to glance at my notes real quick. Jua, I've wanted to minister to you for a long time. I heard the Lord say that he has been preparing you as a spiritual father, that you have the heart of the Father. And I see like spiritual scars all over you, and like spiritual battle wounds, and a lot of things were turning the cheek. is like as you turn the cheek in a humble, peaceful way. There are those who were aggressive with you. There were those who advanced against you out of jealousy, out of being threatened by your gifting and your qualities and the way that even the desire that people have for you to be around them. I just see competition and jealousies. I see people with knives stabbing you in the back. I've seen, and this isn't meant to be a negative prophecy. I think you understand what I'm saying. This is your history. This is what I'm seeing that you've gone through. And I see a warrior, but not a typical warrior who's always got the sword out and who is always fighting. I see a warrior of humility. I see a warrior of love. I see a tender warrior of God. And I heard the Lord say that you've been being prepared for many years as a leader in the community. You've been being prepared as a spiritual father. But there's this opposition even in the region. And I feel like that this has to do with the big the spiritual forces that are negative, like principalities and things. I saw this big wall in your way. And you are the opposite of what this spirit or these spirits want you to be. A traditional spirit that is wanting you to cooperate. It's like I feel like there's been this wrestling match over the years for you to come into agreement and to behave and to say yes and to conform to that thing. But I see you fight against it with just like the love and the tenderness of the Lord. And I hear the Lord say, son, I'm about to promote you in a great and a mighty way. For I'm going to cause my love to shine from you for many. For many will come to you and see my love in you, even the Father's love. And I see you even through worship. I just see you on the keyboard. And I just see somehow there's a mentoring. There's a lesson. I don't know if it's through music or just you being who you are as a worshiper. I don't understand what I'm seeing. But I heard the Lord say that that there are those who have an orphan spirit, who have a slavery spirit. They don't understand sonship because they've never had a father. And I feel like the passion of God on this, that He is going to use you to break the orphan spirit, to break that slavery spirit, that there are to cause people to realize the inheritance and the value that they have in Christ. And I just see this with different colors of people from different places. But there has been this conformity. There's been this battle to try to hold you back, to discourage you, to maybe even doubt who you are and your relationship with God. But I heard the Lord say, son, I have kept you. And I will continue to keep you. I've showed you the hiding place. And I'm going to reveal many treasures in the Spirit to you, even from my word. For you will sing of my glory and you will sing of my presence that you have experienced in reality. So God bless you, brother.
Okay, the gentleman in the blue sweatshirt over there by the time clock. What's your name, sir? Dexter? Okay. Well, Dexter, you know, the first thing I heard over you, I heard the phrase, well-studied man. I just sense that you're the type of person that digs in deep, and I can see you just with all kinds of different resources and studying, and you're just a man that likes to study and get to the bottom, the heart of a matter. And I just really feel that there's been just some ideas, some things rolling around in your head lately that you're like, okay, God, what's the next step? What's the next level? Where do I take it from here? I just sense there's just a real wealth of wisdom that you've attained. And there's many that need it. And I hear the Lord saying, son, I'm going to give you opportunities that you never knew were there. Even in places that you thought the door was closed or places where you thought that you'd never be welcome, I hear the Lord saying, son, I'm going to invite you in. I'm going to roll out the red carpet for you. I'm going to they're going to honor you. They're going to bring you in and say, share what's on your heart. Tell us what you know. Share your wisdom with us. So I just really feel that God is opening up a new can of worms for you, okay? But it's going to be good worms like gummy worms. And I just really sense it's going to be something that's going to be fun. It's going to be enjoyable. And I really heard God saying that now is really a time to seek. Now is time to really trust, to really... I hear God saying, son, tell me your dreams. Tell me what your dreams are. Tell me what you want. I want to give you the desire of your heart. Okay, I put those dreams in you. Ask me. Ask me for them, says the Lord. Ask me to fulfill them. And I just really feel that God is Things are getting ready to really break loose for you. Amen.
Okay, the lady in the back row, I think you have Babylon on your t-shirt there. Okay, what's your name?
Sierra.
Okay, I saw you ministering to the Lord in dance. I don't know if you like to dance or not, but I just feel like that God's gifted you with some really precious ways to minister to His heart. And so I just encourage you to just go after it, to ask the Lord to give you clarity on that, but just to press into His heart, because I feel like He's, as you minister to Him and as you worship Him in your secret places, that He's going to whisper secrets to you. And I saw you dancing, but I feel like as He whispers secrets to your heart, just between you and Him, things about yourself, things about your past, I see you becoming like a little girl skipping kind of thing. You know, the light. I just see Him lightening your spirit and lightening your heart. So I just bless you as a worshiper of the Lord, and I just encourage you just to press into that and just to bless the Lord with that. The Lord loves your worship.
Colette, I just saw something really quick for you. I saw discs in the ground. They're plowing up ground. I saw dry ground. And I heard the Lord say there's harvest time, and then there's sowing time, and there's harvest time. And I feel like that you've been saying, man, I've been plowing, and I'm wanting some seed. I want some harvest. And maybe the seasons have gotten blurred. You're like, what season is this anyway? And I just heard the Lord say, the rain's coming, and I'm going to give you the plan, and you will understand. Amen? All right, bless you. Who else? There's a couple of them I really wanted to quickly. The gentleman over there with the red hat, University of Indiana, I think. What's that? Clint? I saw you golfing, Clint. You may or may not like golfing, I don't know. But I was like, you were frustrated. It was like you were trying to, you know, hit the ball and you would swing and, you know, tear up, you know, the ground, what they call that, divoted, or what do you call that? Yeah. And there were divots all over, and you're like, I don't play golf, so what do you call it? The club was bent, you know, it was all bent. And there were divots everywhere, and you were frustrated, and it was like you had been on the course for a long time. You're like, eventually, I'm going to hit the ball in this hole, and, you know, eventually things are going to work out. And I feel like that there's been a long process that you've gone through, some things that have been very frustrating for you. But I heard the Lord say, son, you've been in training. You've been in preparation. You know, it's like the athlete never grows unless there's resistance and challenge. And the Lord says He's challenged you. He's challenged your heart, even to the very core of your faith. And I heard the Lord say, you've been being prepared as a leader. And what you once seemed like you were a failure at, like you weren't going to succeed in, that you're going to teach others how to do it with excellence. Bless you. Got any more?
Okay. Save the best for last. No. The gentleman in the White Sox hat, the brown hat, what's your name? Mike? Okay, Mike. Well, Mike, I just hear the Lord saying, son, it's more real than what you think. Okay? It's more real than what you think. I see you the kind of guy that you're like the jack of all trades. You're good at everything you do, okay? And I see you going through life, and you've tried this, and you've tried that, and some things were easy. Some things were really easy for you. But I sense there's been a lot of things, a lot of mountains you've climbed, a lot of struggles you've come through, a lot of things where you could have got revenge where you didn't, okay? Maybe sometimes you did. But I just really sense there's a great calling on your life, and I just hear God saying, choose this day, okay? Choose this day. And I hear God saying, you will never be bored with me. I just sense there's been a lot of things in your life you've gone through. It's like, yeah, that was fun, but I got bored. So I did this, and that was fun, and I got bored. But I just hear God saying, the world is your oyster, okay? There is so much in front of you right now. I hear God saying, grab a hold of it. Stuff it inside you. Just like John was saying about, you know, let everything be kneaded together. And I just hear God saying, there's greatness for you, okay? But you got to grab a hold of it. You got to believe in it. You got to believe in the passions that are in your heart because he's the one that put them there. Some of them might have been misdirected along the way, but I just hear God saying, I'm going to take you many places. I'm going to use you in a powerful way. But you're going to have to trust me with everything, says God. You're going to trust me with everything. You got to lay it all down. So be encouraged because there's a calling on your life. I could see it the moment I got up here. But it's up to you what you do with it. Are you going to take advantage of it? Are you going to use it for God's glory? You know, I was reading a scripture the other day, and God says, call on me in the time of trouble, and I will deliver you, and I will shine my glory. You will show my glory. That's what God wants to do with you. He wants to show his glory through you. But he won't force it, okay? But if you partner with him, total surrender. And it's a process. It takes time. You lay it down, you pick it back up, you lay it back down. But eventually, it's less and less and less. But I hear God saying, you will not be disappointed one bit. Amen. Okay.
You guys can go ahead and go down. We're going to start personal prophecy. So for some of you that want a personal word, you need your own recording device. We have ours just as a backup. So in case someone says we told them to quit their job or something like that, we have a record of that. But you need to either write it down yourself or have your own phone app or recorder when you come up. And this is meant to be a 1 or 2 minute prophetic word. So the prophetic team, all of you guys want to come up then. And I'm just going to do a couple things real quick. Part of the issue of prophecy is we know in part and we prophesy in part. And a lot of to do with prophecy is you step out of the boat like Peter did. And you don't know where this is going to go. And we thought we heard a couple things. I thought I heard a couple things before service. And so I'm just going to go ahead and take a chance on a couple things. One was Texas. I heard the name Texas. Now, I don't know if anyone is going to Texas or just come from Texas. Or if does Texas mean anything to anybody in here? Okay, there's two of you guys or three of you guys. Okay, I'm going to come up front. God didn't tell me what, but when you guys come up, I'm just going to minister off of that and just see what the Lord has. So if you guys could come in my line, I want to minister to you guys. And then also we heard migraine. Is there anyone who has been dealing with or is challenged with migraines? Okay. All right. Those of you who have why don't you raise your hands? We're going to all pray for you guys right now. You said you? Okay, raise your hand right up like this. All right. We're just in the name of Jesus. We take authority over migraines. We take authority over all these. This is contrary to the nature of Jesus Christ. It's these women's inheritance as daughters of God to have healing because by Jesus' stripes they've been healed. And we break in the name of Jesus any power that is not of the Lord Jesus Christ that is the source and that is the behind the issue of migraines. If it's not of the enemy and it's a natural thing, we just declare divine health and restoration to God's original plan. In Jesus' name, migraines go in the name of Jesus. All right, well, bless you guys. What we're going to do now is we're just going to minister to everyone up front. If you got a prophecy, you can get the CD by ordering tonight's service and the book up there at the CD station in the lobby. So I think there's a few dollars for a CD, and you might your name and address, and when you come back, it'll be there for you. That's how you get these CDs. So anyway, I'm going to pray and bless you, and those that want prophetic ministry, go ahead and come on up, personal prophecies. Okay, so Lord Jesus, we bless everyone here in the name of Jesus. I just call forth for impartation and a transfer of the divine nature of Christ and that no one would leave the way that they came in, but everyone would leave with a greater portion of Christ, with a greater impartation and transfer in Jesus' name. Lord, we just pray for safety in travel, that everyone driving, that their tires would stick to the pavement, that they would not slide, that there would be no accidents, or there would not be no breakdowns. But Lord, we just pray safety. We ask for your angels to be assigned according to your will in Jesus' name. So God bless you guys. And we'll see you next time.